9 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network, a radio station focused on growing indomitable all-American 21st century liberty. This live episode of the Patriot Power Hour is brought to you by Ready-Made Resources. Plan, prepare, preserve with ReadyMadeResources.com. Now, let's welcome our hosts. Ben, the breaker of banksters, Cochran, and Future Dan, the editor-in-chief of the most original news radar on the planet, FutureDanger.com.
We're back in your life, Patriot Power Hour, episode 76. It's December 5th, 2019. Ben, the breaker of banksters, Cochran here, along with my co-host, Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. It's Conspiracy 76, episode 76.
There you go. I like it. It works well. So, we had last week off the Thanksgiving festivities and whatnot. I had a great Thanksgiving weekend. I hope you did, too. But we're back. We got a big-time news blitz. Lots of news to cover here in the second segment. But I know my... you really want to get into this American Banker article. Well, means for banks. Of course, those who've listened to the show know we talk about this stuff all the time. But in particular, the context back in September, the repo, also known as repurchase agreement, rate skyrocketed from about 2% all the way up to 10% and going higher. Let's just say liquidity shutdown was taking place. And that's what the Fed intervened. And I'll pass it over to you, Future Dan, and kind of expand from there.
That happened in September. And the correction would be, we don't talk about this all the time. In fact, I only remember talking about after our repo swaps.
A few times.
And what it meant.
Times. That's true. Well, we don't talk about it as much as we should.
Maybe. I only remember talking about it early on when I met you and I was on your original Patriot Power Hour when you're doing that show solo. And after I did that first episode, we continued to talk to each other about these issues and eventually forming this second edition of Patriot Power Hour 2 years ago. But one of those early meetings when we talked about, like, I was trying to get an idea of what do these indicators mean.
We talked about that?
I asked you about this, and
we were talking about the specific one.
I remember not having a deep conversation with you because it had happened during the 2007-2008 crisis. That's why it was a future danger indicator. But I didn't witness it until this September.
Right.
And at the time that we discussed it, perhaps about 3 years ago now, we couldn't really make sense of how to even detect that it's happening. Well, I guess we have our answers in September. Wall Street Journal does not exist. No one ignores this. CNBC. When this is going on, it's no thing new. So, for our audience, to catch up, anybody, Patriot Power Hour tonight, maybe for the first time or hasn't heard about it, real quick, what's a repo? What's a repurchase agreement?
Okay, so there's all different types. We're going to focus on the one kind of the biggest elephant in the room. So
overnights.
These overnight, so very short term, and it's for somebody to get and to stay liquid for whatever reason. You know, obviously, just think of your own. Sometimes you need cash real quick. You have all these assets but they're locked up. You can't get them. You need a cash crunch.
The bank has demand for that depositors. They
exactly.
can't meet.
So here's a huge part. And I talked about this on my own show. I've talked about it maybe once here. Really, what you want to focus on are the primary dealers. That's a big part of it.
24 of them. We talked about that
exactly.
probably about in episode 70.
Yep.
Of this.
So they're the in this fall. Repo overnight. It's only those 24, and there's some of the largest ones: J.P. Morgan, Citibank. But there's other ones, including foreign banks, or at least their American subsidiaries. So point is, these are supposed to be the safest, shortest term. These agreements have collateral, U.S. Treasuries behind them. So it's supposed to be the gold standard of security, and there's not supposed to be from 2% to 10% spike like overnight, literally overnight in the overnight.
And if the Federal Reserve did not just put ones and zeros, they let a bank say ones and zeros exist where it didn't before in the previous night. They take the ones and zeros back the next day. It's all fiat, digital bank accounts. Right? I mean, if the isn't there, what would happen to these primary dealers?
We'd see one or more potentially go and solve it. And that's the thing. No one really knows if it was just one or two of those 24 banks. That
totally
were
secret to any
of them. It could have been just one. A lot of people were speculating, like Deutsche Bank, for example. It's one of those banks, and they think is very – their balance sheet is destroyed in public knowledge. So they think they might be like on the very edge to keep these driven things up in the air. They need this cash, emergency cash. It could be more than one primary dealer. It may not even be Deutsche Bank. But if this didn't happen, then guess what? Essentially, it would have cascaded into another Lehman or worse. Is that a problem? Yeah. If we had another Lehman or worse, everything would hit the fan economically. However, I think you can't blame kind of economics for this. Look, we've been having these artificial rates and balance sheet manipulations for more than a decade. And because of all that malinvestment and just manipulation
yeah.
of the market, there's all this explosive power pent up now. So at this point, it's like if it does blow up, I think we talk about how it may Hoover Trump.
Yep.
We're also going to Hoover, quote, unquote, free market capitalism. Too.
Yeah.
It's their fault. We've been calling them out for years on this show and other shows. So at least we're making a record of that. But it's not going to change it, I don't think.
But the reality is, in terms of investment banking and, you know, the high levels of Wall Street finance, this is not anywhere close to a free market without a presumed authority with the full faith and credit of the U.S. Treasury behind it. Banks would be collapsing because the amount of extreme after-hour repos, it just doesn't stop. It's $35 billion here, $75 billion there, $49 billion. Again, the banks are paying it back the next day. But it's
not going away.
It's not going away.
It's supposed to be emergency, you know. Really, it's unprecedented, this type of stuff. Before
they're fooling around on the edges of something that isn't exactly demonstrating that it's stable right now, the financial system.
No, this is like probably that's why it's such a big deal. This is supposed to be their kind of triple A grade debt or loans or, you know, cash market. This is supposed to be impervious to these type of massive swings and essentially defaults. But it's where it's popping up. So that's very concerning because if this can't even hold up together, what about the junk bonds, student loan, auto markets? We already seen some of those delinquencies going up.
Do you think the president gets to know who the banks are that are failing or are troubled?
Well, I'm sure he can be told that. I'm sure, you know,
think he'd be told the truth if he asked right now?
Sources. I don't think the Fed has given him that info, but I think he has, you know, people that can feed him that information.
Let me take it to the next level then. We talked about the list of 24 primary dealers. There's Japanese banks there. There's European banks there. There's Canadian bank there, I believe.
Yeah,
I do not recall if there's any Latin American banks, but there's definitely Canada.
Maybe Mexico, but I don't think so.
I don't think so. So it's basically Western Europe and Japan.
Yeah.
And
NATO block type.
Might have been a Singapore bank in there.
HSBC maybe.
But essentially the Western banks that uphold the system, but not all of them are American banks.
Right.
If this president, in reaction to this, could call out the Fed, what if the banks that are distressed are really the foreign banks among the 24 primary dealers? And by the way, why are we even in a situation where we would uphold foreign banks?
Well, these would be the American subsidiaries of them. You know how that works. But it's so intertwined that...
But this is headquartered abroad, and they're losing money abroad.
Why doesn't he kind of like cut off these European banks and not give them this?
Call them out. That's what Trump would do first.
And that kind of like would shake the market so much. And these are so interconnected. We've seen that if one of them goes down, then all of them are going to go down.
Hey, if the finger pointing starts, look at this president. He punches back. He's called out the Fed in ways that have never, ever happened.
Definitely not by a president, no.
Not by a member of Congress, really.
Only Ron Paul.
Yeah, but
that's pretty impressive, though, right? And maybe
a member. Yeah.
But no. Well, here's the perverse thing, though, is that Trump calls for zero or negative interest rates, so that would perpetuate and increase this issue. But I've always said, in a way, maybe that's genius, or if not genius, intelligent, smart move. Because if the whole system's going down anyway, why don't we just get that last little bit of gas out of lowering interest rates to zero?
And manage the finger point on the way down.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like almost think of, and this is, you know, overused cliche, but let's say it's 1937,
yeah,
and everyone's going to war, and that war is going to happen no matter what, so why don't you just, like, start preparing for ASAP? And this is a financial war, why don't you just use all your gas right now? Maybe he's conserving it, or maybe he's not even thinking this way, but, you know, we got Europe and Japan, and really China has its own system, but they're, you know, they're pretty much at zero interest rates as well. Everyone is near zero. And Trump's been like, he hasn't said abolish the Fed or audit the Fed, but he said that the Fed is pretty much a fraud and that they're working against them. And he wants to bring it down to 0%. And I'm, you know, on one hand, I'm like, that's just like perpetuating the whole issue. But hey, it's kind of a war, so maybe it's a good tactic as well.
He's very trade-focused. Doing that
right.
Could potentially lower the dollar and
exactly.
And bring back manufacturing
right.
To the United States. His viewpoint might be that there's going to be a recession eventually. When it all shakes out, those other countries,
yeah.
Make sure it's a depression for them if they're going to do it this way.
Right. No, and so, again, I feel as if that's the truth, I don't know what his decision-making or how he views it or if it's just kind of all coming together in that way. Maybe he just wants to lower it to zero so the stock market goes to 30,000 and he gets guaranteed reelected. You know what I mean? But kind of like whether on purpose or not, I think that's what, you know, probably needs to be done.
I think he's riding a tiger, and that tiger is the U.S. financial system.
And it's been the biggest and craziest, but now it's fortunately heavily poisoned and kept up with some adrenaline drugs that are running out. So,
yeah, no kidding, huh? It's waking up and getting angry.
Yeah, it's pissed, but it might have a heart attack too. So,
if you're so partisan that you listen to other shows and you listen to Patriot Power Hour and think, you know, why aren't they, you know, rooting for one side of the aisle or just berating the other all the way? Listen to this show a little longer because you'll figure out what side we stood on. My question is, why isn't Rand Paul speaking up about the Fed, or has he got that in store? Or has the president and Rand Paul kind of come to a truce where Trump says, let me handle it for now, and Paul stays silent? But tell you what, these aftermarket repos keep going on like this. Something's going to break. We'll be right back. Segment 2 coming up. News Blitz.
I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Ten Hauser Gate. All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain. Time to die.
Network.
We're back. December 5th, 2019, on the Future Danger homepage, heat map dashboard, column one. Privacy is being ripped apart in America. Banks begin using third parties to spy on $2.8 trillion worth of clients' annual spending habits worldwide. That's just beginning. We'll get into that in a little bit. DHS wants Americans subjected to mandatory facial recognition at airports. Homeland Security is putting out a proposed policy to scan every face coming in and out of the United States. And that includes citizens. News censorship. 300 video ads for the president were taken down by Google, YouTube. Blatant attempt to suppress voter information. And a video, Ben, I want you to look at a little bit later. Maybe watch it in between the break and then comment on it in the second half. If you're following along live on this December 5th, it's in column one. It's a deep fake video of Nixon announcing Apollo 11 disaster. And it's out of MIT, and it shows exactly how technology can warp video and make historical figures say things that they didn't. Maybe we can play it on the air and have a listen.
Give it a try.
All right. A New York county makes it illegal to annoy the police in your free speech being abridged news. In your destruction of the Fourth Amendment, persons, houses, papers, and effects are searched or seized without warrant. Is the indicator. We got the DIA taking a girl's birthday cash and sticking her mother with fees to get it back. No one was ever charged, but having 15 grand in your house when the DIA visit means you don't get to have it anymore. And in Oregon, we got the state seizing kids of low IQ parents. Very controversial. They gave the kids back. That goes into the category of parental rights systematically abused. Column two, security news. We've got NATO summit going on. Got a little bit of tension, a little bit of strategic demonstration between NATO and Russia simultaneously. Not surprising. But we got also deadly news out of Germany, where Germany links Russian agents to the assassination of an expatriate Chechen leader. Chechnya is a portion of Russia where there was a major war in the 90s. A lot of those fighters became part of ISIS as well. Well, somebody went into a park in Berlin and assassinated him in broad daylight. Germany has expelled diplomats, Russian diplomats, over this. So major provocation, if true, to a NATO ally. This is happening while B-52 bombers are flying in the northern Arctic Ocean near close to Russian submarine bases. We got a neat little article here that really explains how the Syrian war made the Russian Air Force even deadlier. It just breaks down where their confidence and air-to-air and air-to-ground combat were tested and improved while they helped the Assad regime stay in power. And again, in London this week, we had the London NATO summit. Three presidents going in had recently questioned the collective defense, including the U.S., French, and Turkish presidents. Now, during the summit, the president leaves early after the Canadian prime minister and others are caught mocking him on tape. That's a political row that has worldwide implications, what implications it has to this indicator, which is NATO dissolving, remains to be seen, but it's not good. Another article up, NATO downplaying divisions as infighting roils the alliance. So it's the most controversial NATO summit in history, probably. And it isn't the type that portends for an alliance to stay together and be ready to fight together. Book out about Epstein building files for the Mossad, written by a former CIA counterterrorism expert. Foreign black ops suspected. Korea is starting to heat up again. The president revived a threat at the NATO conference, at the NATO summit, of force against North Korea. That's because North Korea is hinting at missile launches of a significant nature right at the end of this month, a quote-unquote Christmas present. And they've also been spotted building concrete platforms for mobile missile launchers at scores of locations nationwide since this summer. Watch for tension on the Korean Peninsula resuming in 2020. Japan reports record number of Chinese ships near their contested Senkaku Islands in the Western Pacific. Iran secretly moving missiles into Iraq. India test fires short-range nuclear capable ballistic missile. We keep our eyes on those developments that could lead to wars that we are soon involved in. In column four, Chinese gene-edited twins created to be immune from HIV over a year ago. The first known gene-edited babies may be showing signs of mutations. Nevertheless, scientists attempted it and have succeeded in doing that to two lives. Pigs in China, meanwhile, are being edited severely. Their DNA is bringing out what they're calling super pigs. These are monstrous, cold weather-faring livestock. Now, if we do it to people and mutations arrive, what do you think happens if you do it to your food? Deadly typhoon ravages Philippines this week as well. And in column three, where we always circle back, one step out of order, but because it brings us to what we think on Patriot Power is probably the easiest avenue these days to bring about serious danger, not future danger, like now danger. That's your economic column. All right. We hit the extreme after hours repos earlier in this show, but just to hit the headlines, $95 billion in overnight and 42-day repos were added again this week by the New York Fed. Good little article up here on what happens if you toss that same $98 billion in liquidity at an extended market and it sells off anyways. We had small but noteworthy sell-offs in the previous 3 days of this week. Today's Thursday. I believe that happened Monday and Tuesday. Corporate debt nearing record $10 trillion. That's U.S. corporate debt. And that's being called out as posing risk as well. And believe it or not, the only brand new on Future Danger this season debuted in October. Economic charts live embedded in column three indicators where you have a quantitative measure that can hit a chart. Gold is the only one, Ben, that one of two that typically sit in the red zone, the top 25 percentile. Gold continues per ounce on the NYMEX at 1480 as of today. And there's an article about how it has actually outperformed the stock market over the last year. The other chart that regularly hits in what we consider a danger zone, even if there aren't headlines, it's there. It's a problem. So you can see it now in column three. Federal government debt to GDP ratio is at 98%. There you have it. December 5th, episode 76, heat map dashboard, Blitzkrieg. Want to bring it back right out of this into this article on how gold has outperformed the stock market over the last year. Why didn't you predict that last December? Wasn't that an easy one?
Hey, well, I've been piling into gold and silver for the last 5+ years, and it hasn't moved up at all since then, but that just allowed me to get it at a cheaper price. I think, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but we've seen gold essentially go from about 1,200 to 1,500 or so.
21% in the last 12 months.
Yep, not bad at all.
No.
So it's still pretty far off its all-time highs as well. But like you said, it's right there, just starting to creep into that red zone, so to speak.
Better than Netflix, Tesla, Amazon. You just bought gold bars. You're doing better than buying those stocks this year.
Definitely. What? For the last 5 years, definitely those fangs, as they call it, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, have been outperforming gold. But I don't know. I think next year will be real interesting to see what happens. I personally think we'll see a similar result. In fact, we might see drops in the stocks with increases in the gold, which will compound the effects big time. But never know. I still think that there's some – well, actually, you know, and we've talked about this here and there, proven market manipulation. People actually have been fined and even gone to jail for precious metal manipulation, and I think that's just the tip of the iceberg. So they're definitely – they don't want gold to hit 2,000 and beyond. They're doing everything they can to hold it back. I don't know how much longer they can. I still think you need to be putting a fair amount of your savings into physical gold and silver. Hard to say what that is. I think, you know, in the 20 to 30% range is much better than maybe some people would say of like 3 or 5%. That's just me.
And we all have given thought to, and there's some articles that support the idea that, you know, at least in the paper gold market, it's an entirely suppressed price. We have countries like Turkey buying 71 metric tons in the third quarter of this year. That is Turkey for 71 and Serbia for 9. China and Russia constantly make
a lot. But, and China is mining a lot and keeping it all in house. So.
Yes. So these other countries definitely see the potential of a U.S. collapse where gold skyrockets and they reap the benefit of that.
They're looking for an overall kind of reset to the global system. And they believe, and I believe as well,
it's going to revert to
gold. The more gold you have, the more power, the more seats, you know, the more important the seat at the table you will have in that kind of Bretton Woods 2.0 or 3.0 kind of new financial system.
Yeah.
That I think is going to have to happen one way or another. It's just, what does it look like? Because the current system is not going to last.
Global currency.
Longer. Yeah, well, exactly. That's what a lot of people have said for many years, going for that one world currency.
Can there be one without a one world government?
What if it's a crypto one world currency? I don't know. I don't think they're going to come. I think you can in a way, because if you look at the euro, compare to the European Union, they're somewhat. They have most of the main countries are the same between the euro and the European Union, but not all of them. And I guess what I'm saying is, yeah, a global currency would really centralize the governments of the world, but I think you could still kind of have nation states or at least shells of their former self without being like a one world government and still have that one world currency out there. But it'll go in stages and each one will get kind of closer and closer.
I'm not sure because European Union monetary union is deeply jeopardized. They weren't able to integrate currencies.
Well, I'm not saying they're going to be successful per se, but no, It'll be set up for the next failure if they do this. And especially, you know, I'm not advocating for this, but you need, if you did want it to be quote successful, let's say a benevolent dictator, right? If I was a benevolent dictator and I wanted a one world for me to rule, the more control you have over it, the more centralized the government, then the more centralized, the better that centralized currency would work.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not saying this is a good thing. I'm just saying kind of, if you're going to do it, you might as well go hardcore centralization, not half-ass.
By the way, in the news today, the Speaker of the House said something to the effect that there's articles of impeachment coming against the president.
Yes. So we will, we don't talk, I know you're kind of hitting that.
That sure is terribly dangerous.
It's the very end of the second segment, and we'll just throw that in there.
I don't even want to talk about it.
No.
I don't really care that much.
We're going to see what happens. It's a SHIT show. Kind of sad. So I don't like talking about it either. So
sort of
that. We'll come talk about some
trivial
good stuff here.
Yeah.
Some important big picture items.
Yeah.
We'll keep that
long
going.
Range.
We'll get some prepper stuff I'm looking forward to talking about. Even some thoughts on the CIA and centralized.
Bug out brainstorm.
Bug out brainstorm coming up. Second half Patriot Power Hour. Stick with us.
I worry that my son might not understand what I've tried to be. And if I were to be killed in Willard, I would want someone to go to my home and tell my son everything. Everything I did, everything you saw. Because there's nothing that I detest more than the stench of lies. And if you understand me, Willard, you will do this for me.
Achieve situational awareness. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
We're back, and we're live. Yes, believe it or not, we are a live radio program, not just a recorded podcast.
Call in if you like.
What's that number, Future Dan?
619-789-6804. I say again, 619-789-6804. Press 1 to get on the air, or just call in that number and listen if you happen to be somewhere during showtime. We do this live on Thursdays for season 8. We're going for 2 more before the Christmas break.
Yep. Coming up on, I can't believe it's already the 5th of December. It's pretty crazy. 2020 coming up. That's kind of unbelievable. 20% of the way through the 21st century. Feels like Y2K just the other day.
Does it for you?
I was like 15, so I do remember. That's right when I moved. Digression. But anyway.
I remember 1984 and kids saying, wow, that used to just be a book.
Now we actually pay for our spy machines and they're our telephones.
Yeah, we
can. Hello, NSA, how are you?
We could get into that a little bit. You want to get into the banks beginning to use third parties to spy on trillions of dollars?
Sure.
This is out of Fox 5 New York. And what it's all about is how Google, Facebook, Amazon, they've all been like constantly surveilling you as you use those services to try to estimate what are you going to buy next and how to get in front of you for that. And for the first time, banks are starting to break a taboo. The taboo used to be your deposits and your spending out of those accounts to checking was completely private data. But they're beginning to realize – in this negative rate environment or near NERP environment that they may have an opportunity to make money because they don't just know – they don't just have a good guess at what you're going to buy. They know exactly what to buy. So
yeah. And how much money you make and all types of other stuff.
Right. So this is happening. Wells Fargo began customizing its retail offers for individual customers – on November 21st, joined Chase, Bank of America, PNC, SunTrust, and a slew of smaller banks. And they do it the classic 21st century way. They don't do it. They hire somebody to do it for them. They sell them the data.
Nice.
Yeah. What do you think? Where does this end up?
Well, ends up with chips in our heads. And then the mark of the beast.
Can you give us the steps before we get to the Book of Revelation that
one
might want to know about and try to stop ahead of time?
I think a big part of it will be what we're seeing in China with the social credit score and restrictions on commerce kind of fringe at first. So, hey, maybe they won't totally block your bank account, but you won't be able to shop from – you know, InfoWars store.
You know why I hate the people that run banks?
The banksters? Why?
because they do this, and then the inevitable reaction will be at the state level. There will be politicians, legislatures that will stand up and ban these practices. You know, it say that banks can't be doing this. It cuts both ways. You could get an Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders to come out against this, most likely, because it could be painted as those evil capitalists doing it. Right. And the very people running the most powerful institutions that we can't avoid using in a fiat system. Like, you have to take your paycheck into a bank account these days.
Exactly.
Unless you're, you know, hustling in a cash economy, which is a lot harder.
Right.
They do this very same thing that promulgates the centralized government control of their industry. It's as if no one who believes in free market principles ever ends up running an organization. Right. And
probably
here's why,
the solution, huh?
Here's why it'll really grate you when you think of it this way. Pretty soon there won't be a single bank that'll stand up in the marketplace and say, bank with us because we don't do that. If I see that happening, my faith in the market system in this country might be somewhat restored, but I wouldn't be surprised if this brand new trend, Associated Press article published 3 days ago, first I've seen anything along this line, of banks selling out your private data and for the first time in history, rather than treating you as a private client to protect your data. If this goes mainstream and there's not a major bank allowed to operate that stands up and says, we don't do this, then that's not capitalism. We don't have that anymore.
Oh, yeah. It was gone long ago, like decades ago, but definitely at this time right now.
Most people didn't think that way before 2007. Yeah. I didn't.
No, well, I think
it hasn't been gone, to most people that long.
That was a big wake-up call to people that things were not as they seemed. And they've gotten much worse since then, too. So I think it's on its face right now. So. Pretty creepy. Yeah, now we're going to try to get this MIT deep fake video of Nixon announcing Apollo 11 disaster. Let me try to set this audio up real quick so we can do it. Let me see this here, Future Dan. Go ahead. While I do this, cover for me.
And they're forged videos, right? And the idea is if MIT, you know, student labor supplied little think shop contracts that can come up with this sort of stuff are doing it now, you better believe like private companies that perfected this and sold it to the government, right? So being able to put a clip like this with a Middle Eastern president resigning into the TVs of certain neighborhoods of a war zone in order to get a faction to surrender, for example, I don't even know that's ever happened, right? But that's how deepfake video is weaponized. Russians are probably at the forefront of this sort of thing, or at least trying. But this is at MIT. Let's see if we can play it.
All right, here we go.
That's Nixon sitting down.
My fellow Americans. Hank says we're being... The men who went to the moon to explore in peace will stay on the moon to rest in peace.
All right, it goes on a little bit further, but they basically changed the facial expressions and matched up the lip sync and used clips of Nixon speaking and kludged it together. And probably had AI to replicate new words that sound just like the same voice track. So they have him saying that the astronauts died on the moon.
Super creepy. And if you see the video, I feel as if I could quote, tell that it's something's off about it, but it's really hard. It's pretty damn real. And what's it going to be like in 5, 10, 20 years from now? That's my question. It's going to be so advanced. Now, I think there's two aspects to this, essentially a double-edged sword. Number one, if, let's say, some of these, let's say there's a big scandal caught on tape, Project Veritas, right? In the future, they're going to be saying, oh, that's not real. It's deep fake video.
Right.
That's one part of
automatically
it.
Automatically deny anything you
exactly.
don't like hearing.
And on the other hand, people could produce real, you know, deep, they could actually produce a deep fake and use it as blackmail against you, whether, who knows what it is. It could be all types of things, obviously. But so it's kind of one or the other. It's like, if we catch, quote unquote, the bad people, they could just play off as deep fake. But of course, they will have a different view for, say, a Patriot who's caught with some, you know, bad footage that was faked. So are we at this point yet? I don't know. I feel as if they could. I mean, here's the question. Do you think there's actually videos out there that we think are real but actually are deep fake and we don't even know?
Right now?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. If this is a state of the art, if there's secret clandestine state of the art that's way beyond this,
yeah.
I can't say. But this, as you noted when you just watched it, and you watched it here for the first time during this episode.
Yeah.
The lip sync isn't perfect, and if you know about the original announcement that he did make, it's much easier to say, well, something's wrong with that. But if you're ignorant of the original,
yeah,
it could easily convince you, and if you're kind of raised on in current modern environment, the diet, the lack of sleep, the screen time that youth are on these days, there's a massive part of our population that could quickly fall for this sort of thing. Now, compound that with panic. If it was a grid down scenario and the information you were getting, or it was in a crisis, like the entire country is gripped by some crisis on like the day September 11th happened,
right.
It got everybody knew that was happening. Videos that purported things that were false. In a panic situation, you catch it at an airport, you see it in a store during a crisis, that could easily be taken by any reasonable person who didn't stop to pay attention and took it immediately for granted.
Right.
Basically, what this is telling me, you can't take anything of consequence for granted anymore because it could be deep fake.
Exactly. So I think this is almost the time. This is the crest right now for at least me personally where it's like, okay, it really is a true threat, these deep fakes going forward.
We try to get ahead of this on Patriot Power.
There you go. So I don't know how many are really out there, if any, but going forward, you got to be ready. Pretty creepy, but hey, trust me, this is the first time people thought of this. It's been going on in science fiction and other books and novels for quite some time. They thought this would take place. It looks like it is. So, anyway, all right, folks, we're coming up on the final break. We will be back for a solid 15 minutes. We'll be talking a little bit of prepping, I believe. A little
Bug out brainstorm.
Super interesting. I'm looking forward to this topic. So, all right, we'll be back. Patriot Power.
Down here's Mexico. First wave of the attack came in disguised as commercial charter flights, same way they did in Afghanistan in 80. Only they were crack airborne outfits. Now they took these passes in the Rockies.
So that's what hit Calumet?
I guess so. They coordinated with selective nuke strikes, and the missiles were a hell of a lot more accurate than we thought. They took out the silos here in the Dakotas, key points of communication.
Like what?
Oh, like Omaha, Washington, Kansas City.
Gone?
Yeah, that's right. Field traders came up illegal from Mexico, Cubans mostly. They managed to infiltrate SAC bases in the Midwest, several down in Texas, and wreaked a hell of a lot of havoc, I'm here to tell you. They opened up the door down here, and the whole Cuban and Nicaraguan armies come walking right through. Roll right up here through the Great Plains.
How far did they get?
Cheyenne. Across to Kansas. We held them at the Rockies and at the Mississippi. Anyway, the Russians reinforced with 60 divisions. Sent three whole army groups across the Bering Strait into Alaska. Cut the pipeline, came across Canada to link up here in the middle. But we stopped their butt cold. Lines have pretty much stabilized now.
What about Europe?
I guess they figured twice in one century was enough. Just sitting this one out. I'll accept England. They won't last very long. The Russians need to take us in one piece, and that's why they're here now. That's why they won't use nukes anymore, and we won't either, not on our own soil. The whole damn thing's pretty conventional now. Who knows, maybe next week will be swords.
What started it?
I don't know, two toughest kids on the block, I guess. Sooner or later, they're gonna fight.
That's simple.
Maybe somebody just forgot what it was like.
Well, who is on our side?
600 million screaming Chinamen.
Well, last I heard, there were a billion screaming Chinamen.
There were.
You are listening live to the Patriot Power Hour, furnished by ready-made resources and fueled by FutureDanger.com.
All right, let's jump right into it, Ben.
All right.
Episode 76, we're finishing the final quarter, the fourth quarter of the show. We'll, with some topics that we like to hit on in the prepper preparedness topic, right? Talk about the bad news in the first three segments. You ought to think about how to, you know, stay alive if all that happens. So now I was thinking today about my personal circumstances, and I value my privacy, so I'm not going to get into specifics. But I will say I live in a suburban, fairly densely populated area, right, on the East Coast. That's about as much I want to zone it in. But my house, I got a little bit of woods that's a sizable chunk of land behind me. But the other direction is pretty population dense. I'm not staying where the food has to be brought by truck.
Right.
For this population to eat beyond a month. And believe me, at a month marketing time, it'd be desperation, right? So if the grid went down, the mobile networks went down, the information was sparse, we're seeing crazy reports and suspecting deep fake, et cetera.
Yeah.
And you're in parts of the area where you live in, if you live in something similar to this, is, you know, there's crime, attacks, fire, bodies, no consistent presence of authorities. How do you deal with it? So I gave it some thought. If this all went down faster than I could see coming on Future Danger, and as editor of Future Danger, I've seen dangerous indicators pop up, but if you start seeing a third or fourth simultaneous black on red SHFT, that would be historical for Future Danger. We started in October 2015. It hasn't happened yet. So if a real crisis happened again, and I happen to live in the vicinity of a place where rule of law was in doubt for any amount of time, and seriously desperate, historically bad things were happening nationwide that I had partial information on, how would I react? Now, Future Danger is not about, you know, expert prepping advice. But that's other guys. And I listen to those podcasts and the
you have a great
YouTube
list of them.
I collect their good articles.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely suggest people check that part out when you're getting your news at FutureDanger.com.
Yeah.
Look in the first column towards the very bottom. Black prepping advisory. Really cool.
Yeah, hit the header on prepping advisory, and you can get to the whole archive of articles. And these have been collected for pretty soon it'll be two years. So lots of great information, but it's more on the operational, tactical side rather than the how-to side.
Okay.
So many other websites are doing like how to do this, how to do that. But a lot of bug-out ones are here, and maybe it's because personally that is of interest to me because I'm planning to – be able to get out. So
here's my question. So I'm not going to say I'm the dungeon master, so to speak, but I'll set a little bit of this for you. What is your, I guess, when, what is one of the biggest triggers, or what triggers would force you to bug out instead of bug in. Like,
when there's an immediate threat to my vehicle and my ability to get my survival needs packed into it, I have always owned a four-wheel drive, eight-cylinder SUV that can carry people and equipment. And I was thinking today, and I hadn't really given a lot of thought today, maybe it's this after-hours repos just kind of get me a little bit on edge that continues. And it hasn't really happened in years since the financial crisis. Pack that thing in steady increments in my front yard without attracting attention.
Yeah.
And remember, the neighbors are all, you know, if they get in TV, they're getting shocked by what they're seeing.
Right.
Right. They're all wondering what to do. Government alerts that come out trying to steady people about, you know, don't panic shop. If panic shopping happens near me,
yeah,
I am going to be ahead of that and get all sorts of stuff.
Looting.
But I'm getting that vehicle ready. And I don't know what the trigger would be, but as soon as I thought that a threat to the vehicle might be at stake at my property, I'm going to move it into those woods and I'm going to camouflage it. I'm going to stage it.
Okay.
I'm going to get it out of view. I'm going to get it up into the woods at first, maybe about 100 yards. And then if I have to, I'm going to work the clear brush and get a little bit deeper in there. I'm going to have a path out and I'm going to wait and see. And basically, you know, make sure it's protected from where I live at, and then play it by sight and sound and watch my environment. If the trigger is I gotta leave, I know I have the means.
Do you now? I will certainly admit I don't have a second property or land or campsite that I own.
This is just woods near me that I don't own.
But you. I know that, but let's say you need to go and you go. Do you have a site? Do you have multiple sites that you could go to, whether you own them or not? Do you suggest, like, if you don't have a destination or like something that you, somewhere, you know, 100 miles or more away, whatever, kind of isolated, if you don't have one of those, do you suggest even bugging out at all? Like just going out there or would.
Well, we hit the formula a few months ago. This great article is up, and it's in the archive right now. But it's sort of the formula of the cost of staying versus
right.
the cost
I do
of going.
That. That was a good one.
And if it exceeds the safety of where you're going, so if there's no way to say I got a fixed plan. It's not, you know, twins right 32 dive, and we're going to throw the fullback up the two hole
right.
because. That could be 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and I don't want that. I want
right.
If I bug out, I want it to be successful. So if things deteriorated in my immediate neighborhood, like we don't have power, people are struggling, and you know they need water, and we live on centralized, you know, the water supply of the county. If you know those things get tough like that, I'm going to begin to do the calculus, and part of that. Is I'm going to do scouting on foot through terrain that gets me to major roads nearby
okay.
with maximum cover and concealment and, you know, employing devices at night that aid in that. I'll do most of that under the cover of darkness. That vehicle parked where it is could be spotted by authorities. So if it became switched from a without rule of law,
yeah.
what I could expect is a probable scenario is it reverts quickly to an excessive rule of law where National Guard and or other authorities are brought in to, you know, handle the environment because it got so out of control. In either case, if things deteriorate, there's rioting, there's rampant, you know, danger of a robbery and attack. I'm going to do most of my scouting at night and make sure, at least in the distance that I could travel on foot and back to my house
yeah.
during cover of darkness, that I understand if I pull out of my neighborhood to make my bug out, that what I'm going to encounter. After you get past that distance that you can scout on foot, you really are at the mercy of other plans. And again, where I'm going, how I'm getting there, how many different destinations I have, what their priorities are and their advantages and disadvantages, I'm certainly not talking about on the air. But just this was a bug out brainstorm, how to stage for it, watch, and make sure you're stepping out from your enclave when you decide, if and when you decide you have to, doing it in ways that, to me, and I'm just brainstorming here, it's common sense to me. if you're listening to this and you have other ideas and maybe what I'm not thinking of, send them into the show. We got a voicemail in column 3 of Future Danger. Send a voicemail to the show. We'll catch that clip. It's totally anonymous if you want. Or call in. Call in on another future episode after you hear this.
Yep, absolutely.
Love your feedback on it.
Or our social media, of course. If you're listening to this, you probably already know where to find us, but probably the simplest way to find all our contact information, go to blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network to find Twitter, Facebook, websites, etc. So we got to wrap it up. We got a couple minutes here. You know, I guess if you are really bugging out, then you absolutely have to, because you might as well assume your house will be just ransacked and destroyed at that point. So,
well, I'm going to wait and see. And I'm going to defend it against
I have to. I was going to say, do you think it's smart? Let's say you're not getting much information and just the entire grade goes down. Do you think it's smart to wait out a couple few weeks?
I think it's smart to wait
the hell
to see
out
if
ASAP.
I'm thinking it's smart to see if authorities can reestablish safety and control. Because if they can, the risks of moving and being someplace where that's not true are could be a lot worse.
Right. It's a lot riskier to bug out than bug in. But obviously, if literally you have hordes trying to burn down your house, or everyone's totally out of food, water, et cetera.
It's a three-part calculus. Safety of your location staying, safety of the transit, and the safety of where you arrive, and also the supply, the means you have to supply survive in all three. But I'll tell you what, if there's no food in the suburbia, it's a matter of time before it's time to go. And you got to time it right. You got to scout. You got to prepare. You got to read your environment carefully. It's almost as important or more important than the preps you have on hand to get you there.
Right. That makes sense. Makes sense. Good stuff. So, all right. Well, that does it for us. We will be live next Thursday, episode 77. That's Thursday, December 12th, 8 p.m. Eastern, as per usual. Future Dan, another great show. Thanks for coming with me on this journey to try to expose some of the banksters and globalists, and even prepare ourselves and our listeners to fight back and keep the light of liberty shining, right?
Yeah, stay awake towards these things.
Good stuff. All right, guys, we'll be back next week. Catch you later.
Partners. How can Standard & Poor's help you?
Well, we don't understand why the ratings agencies haven't downgraded subprime bonds since the underlying loans are clearly deteriorating.
Well, the delinquency rates do have people worried, but they're actually within our model.
So, says you, you're convinced the underlying mortgages in these bonds are solid loans?
That is our opinion,
yes.
Oh,
yeah. Crack the tape. Have you looked at the loan level data?
What do you think
we do here all day?
You're
giving these loans to anybody with a credit score and a pulse.
Sir, what do you think we do here all day?
I'm not sure. That's why we're here.
Here's what I don't understand.
We check, we recheck.
If these mortgage bonds are so stable, if they are so solid.
You check your friends.
Have you ever refused to rate?
That's delusional.
Georgia,
we stand behind.
Have you ever refused to rate any of these bonds upper tranches AAA? Can we see the paperwork on those?
Oh, I'm under no obligation to share that information with you,
just
whoever
you
might be.
Just answer the question, Georgia. Can you name one time in the past year where you checked the tape and you didn't give the banks the AAA percentage they wanted?
If we don't give them the ratings, they'll go to Moody's, right down the block. If we don't work with them, they will go to our competitors. Not our fault, simply the way the world works.
Holy shit.
Yes, now you see.